Welcome back. We're really happy to welcome in studio for the first time in 2021, John Yaswinski, President and CEO of Father Bills and Mainspring, to give us some updates on what's happening with the organization here in Quincy and in Brockton as well. John, good to see you in person.
It's good to be back.
Yes.
Thank you, Joe.
Nice to be, face to face rather than screen to screen.
That's right.
How are you?
Doing well. Good. Yeah, it's been probably, I was saying to people, it's probably been for my 25 years now at Father Bills.
You were 10 when you started,
right? I was 10
right?
there, yeah. it's probably, the last 18 months or so has probably been the hardest time for us.
Is that right?
At least for my 25 years.
Wow. So. Before we talk about a status update and things, how did the shelters fare in the Nor'easter?
We did all right. We have generators at all of our places. There wasn't any major damage. We definitely lost power in certain places.
Sure.
But overall, everybody is safe and fine. So
that is
thank
good.
You for asking.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
Last time we chatted, it was virtually still, unfortunately, and we had talked a lot about how Father Bills and Mainspring was dealing with the pandemic.
Yeah.
Is it still impacting you?
It is. Yeah. I think for a lot of people, right, people are thinking like it's coming to an end or something. And, for especially people, our families, our individuals that are experiencing homelessness, for every 5 people we move out, there's 6 people at the door. And so mm-hmm. we're still seeing it where, people have loss of jobs, even though people now can get back to work, the ability, even when they're getting the work now and they're still at the shelter, the housing market now is so tight they can't move out
right.
now that they have a job. And it takes a long time to save up for that first, last, and security. I think that what we've seen during the pandemic is the rise of people struggling with substance use.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that's been a group that we've been very concerned about and seeing an increase of. Elders, people with fixed incomes, has been our fastest growing population.
Really?
Pre-COVID and definitely continuing
okay.
in that sense. For us though, again, in the height of COVID, we had, less than 20% infection rate at the shelters. But as we've depopulated ourselves and separated people,
mm-hmm.
What we've seen is that, that infection rate stay around 1%
okay.
Or below. And I can't say enough of a local medical provider, Manic Community Health. They have been tremendous through this pandemic for us. During it, of course, we had the Y stepped up, mm-hmm. South Shore Y, the mayor, kind of brokered that deal and said, we all got to work together on this. FEMA and the state, of course, but Man has been with us from day one, and they continue to be there doing surveillance testing and getting people vaccinated, our guests and everything.
Sure. So. How are you handling now the rollout of boosters?
We've been in conversations, with a few of the medical providers
okay.
that really help the homeless and saying, how do we now help the guests get the boosters
right.
and stuff.
Yeah.
So it hasn't been rolled out yet,
okay.
but the wheels are in motion.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So you're seeing new faces at the shelter?
Yeah,
really?
Most definitely.
Okay.
We've got young adults. I was just down at the shelter today
mm-hmm.
and talking with our case manager that just works with 18 to 24-year-olds
mm-hmm.
and seeing how many young adults are kind of falling through the cracks and they're coming to us and everything. One of the things we have continued to do is we've been getting guidance from the Department of Public Health. And, at Father Bills in Quincy, we've been averaging for, ever since I've been there, 130 to up to 150 people in the winter. And, we've still stayed with the COVID protocols of still not, socially distancing everybody. But we have a room just at Father Bill's for people that are quarantined. So we have a room
okay.
that is filled with people, new people that we don't know if they've been vaccinated yet. We're trying to find that out. We're testing them, and we don't want to mix them with the rest of the population
yep.
and all of that. So we're still struggling with that. We are still in the hotels, as we talked about months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got 110 people in hotels, and then we've got about 60 people at Father Bill's in Quincy
okay.
at Broad Street. And that's just allowed us to continue to serve the nightly census, the average need. But we do know that the unsheltered people living out on our streets
mm-hmm.
in the South Shore, has grown.
Hmm.
And we're continuing to see how we can address that.
Yeah.
Especially a lot of people with severe mental health issues are afraid to come into the shelter.
Because
of COVID. Oh, okay. Like, you know, I might get it and things like that. There's still people that are hesitant to get the vaccine and don't want to come in. You know, people can still come in if they're not vaccinated. We're not saying you have to be vaccinated to get, you know, a bed.
So. Okay. All right. Is there any assistance available from the federal pandemic relief funds that could help, John?
So, you know, up and through July, we had been getting FEMA money to help us with the depopulation sites, which was great. What we're really trying to do now is they call it the ARPA funding, the American Recovery Act, is we're really advocating for a portion of that money to go towards housing that could go targeted to people, families and individuals experiencing homelessness. So, there's a bill that the House just put in Massachusetts for they're getting $5 billion of ARPA. And so we've asked for about $150 million the House had to just target the homeless in the state of Massachusetts for housing. And that's what we really would like.
Okay.
We know that housing is the answer. And so we'd be excited to see some of that Recovery Act, CARES Act money that's coming to the communities really be used for the housing.
Okay. Have you heard from the administration at all as to whether they support that?
They definitely have said that they've got in their kind of recommendations $1 billion of the $5 billion to go to housing.
Okay.
But they haven't specifically said, you know, this is
homeless
what's gonna
housing.
Go to, to homeless.
Okay.
That's why we're excited to see the House budget where they specifically called out of whatever their allotment is of maybe it's $1 billion, I'm not sure.
Okay.
But $150 million for the homeless, which is great. And now we'll start to ask the Senate to support that.
Okay. Good.
And that's really because we don't want to go back to having crowded shelters and people sleeping on the floors and everything. And it's not good to have everybody. I think we realized during this pandemic that public health-wise, it isn't good to have people sleeping so close to each
not
other.
Not only for COVID, but any kind of
any
infectious
flu.
Disease, right? Yeah, flu, for, the common cold even. If folks who are compromised, it could be quite bad for them.
It's usually really bad for us at the shelters every winter when we're in overflow. Absolutely. And that's one of the things we saw with everybody still wearing masks is, you know, as we've been fighting this pandemic, last winter, the flu season, we didn't see the amount of people getting sick because we had socially distanced them and they were wearing masks.
Absolutely. It's so true. Speaking of finding housing, before COVID hit, there was a huge announcement about your efforts to develop a new housing resource center here in Quincy. How's that going?
It's going well.
Okay.
We are literally going to start construction in the next couple of months.
Oh, you are?
Yeah,
are.
Wow. Yeah.
Breaking news.
Yeah, breaking news. So you know, basically, we're excited that, you know, in June, the governor and the lieutenant governor and the whole delegation and the speaker all came out and announced that the state was going to support the replacing Father Bill's shelter and giving us some funding to go to the Housing Resource Center.
$4 million, as I recall.
$4 million. Yeah. And since then, we've known that they're now also going to support the 30 units of housing that will be connected with the resource center.
Yeah, we have a rendering there, so if we can show folks, just to give them a sense.
That would be great.
What it would
look like. So from there, then, we've gotten great response of funding from the state and stuff is we're now launching a capital campaign of private money. And so we're going to be we're in the process now of raising $10 million to help fund that project.
Okay.
But we've got such great support from people that we're comfortable enough saying, let's go and break ground, you know, in the next couple of months.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So here's what it might look like over on Broad Street. You can see that in your monitor. Kind of explain what we're looking at, if you could, John.
That would be beautiful. Yeah. So this is at 39 Broad Street.
Okay.
So if you're thinking of Fratelli's on the right, it's the vacant lot right there. So the shorter building on the left would be the new Housing Resource Center.
Okay.
So in that building, we would really focus. You would still have emergency beds, shelter beds in the building. But really, it's a resource center that will have staff there that will help people that aren't just homeless. So we really want it to be where we focus on prevention. You know, if you're starting to say, I lost my job, I've got a medical issue, I might be getting evicted, call us, come down once this is built. We know that prevention works.
Okay.
And so we'll have resources to help people prevent them from ever having to come to the shelter. We'll look at diversion. So diversion means we know that 25 or 30% of the people that come to Father Bill's place come from other systems of care. If it's the mental health system or the substance abuse system or young adults getting discharged from state systems when they graduate, when they go from 17 to 18. Yeah. We really want to look at diverting people and working with those systems upstream and saying, Father Bill's, the resource center, the shelter part should be the last resort, not the first resort. We'll have day programming, like I said, that will really allow people to stay in during the day. You know, right now the shelters are funded for just, you know, nighttime services. We're committed to 24/7 here so that we can engage with people during the day and they're not roaming the Quincy community. Now people still may want to leave and get some fresh air or go into work or day programs or school, of course, but we're hoping that the people that maybe go out and are struggling, where do I go during the day, will engage with our team and we can really look at what they need and where we can help them leave the Housing Resource Center. And we'll have a community lunch program. And it's not just for people that are at Father Bill's. If people need a hot lunch every day, they could come down to our to our lunch program. So we're really looking at it as a resource center where people can kind of come, you know. And then the other building will be 30 units of permanent housing, efficiency apartments. So every unit will have its own kitchenette. It will have a full bath and a full closet. And then and the rooms are about a little over 300 square feet.
Okay, so brand new for single people.
So it's for, it'll be for single people that are experiencing homelessness here, you know, in this area. The first floor will really, as you can see, the buildings are connected. It's one big project. And the first floor will have things that both places will use. We'll have classrooms to help people with education. We'll have a library, a small library setting, computers and things that really get people self-sufficient. Say, you know, if you're doing a housing search or if you're going, you know, we help with your employment, here you go. Here's some resources for you.
Connection to the internet is almost a lifeline today.
It is.
You know, it's the first avenue of resource that people go to for information and connection. So that'll be key, I'm sure.
And we're happy to say that, you know, even a local group, the Arbella Insurance Foundation, has committed $300,000 to this project already. So we're starting off on a good foot there. So
how would you determine the 30 individuals that are housed?
We call it a coordinated entry system, where it will be people that are our highest need. So people that really can't go into mainstream housing. So people with severe disability.
And are you going to need additional staff for this new center, Joan?
We do. Part of our comprehensive campaign is, you know, is not just for raising money for the capital, but raising money for the programs. This is innovative, right? We're looking to reduce the length of stays. Think of, we're trying to get away from managing homelessness or warehousing people to more of like a medical emergency room. So we want more, you know, I always say people save people, and we need more people on the front lines. We've created a triage team. We've got donors that are, have given us money the last 3 or 4 years to start implementing the new service delivery model. So we will be adding staff that will really look at engaging with people, triage, assessing them, and then moving them on.
So how will the program kind of sustain itself? How will the center sustain itself? It's not an emergency shelter anymore. So, you know, funding wise, you're going to need a steady stream, obviously.
One of the greatest things is that the funding that goes into the shelter now will continue. But the funding is flexible enough that there, but that the state public funding is like, absolutely, this is best practice. We've been doing this for a while anyways, and now it's all doing it at one location in one place. So, but you're right, we will continue to have to raise more private money because it's more than what we get from the public.
So still you'll have your big fundraisers that will be taking place along the way.
What we've seen by talking with like 30 or 40 of our top supporters on the private side is people are excited about this. And they view this as, you know, innovative, bold, and let's do something, let's attack this homeless issue differently than other communities and not just manage it.
But not only here in Massachusetts, but nationwide, this is a model, right?
There'll be a lot of people looking at this at the end of the day. Father Bill's in Mainspring has been looking at this model and has been practicing components of these things for over the last 10 to 12 years. So we've been doing it. We know it works. Now it's like we're putting the whole initiative behind it.
I can't help but think, you know, years ago when Father Bill's was first founded, Father Bill McCarthy, said, your number one job, John, is to take down the sign.
That's right.
Even then, he knew the answer
housing
people.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're right. Like, this is very exciting for, you know, for all of us in the community that knew Father Bill to know, Father, we are taking the sign down, you know.
Exactly. What's going to happen in the interim between when the current shelter is torn down to make way for the police station
right.
and the new one is built? What happens in the middle there?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to know, the one great thing that the mayor and the city has said is there will be no break in services.
Okay.
So the shelter, the people in our shelter, there's not, you're not going to lose the shelter services
okay.
right now. We're going to know, fairly soon, in about a month or so, what does that look like and
okay.
the timing? But what we're excited about is that we know that right now we're on target to start building our new building, early winter.
Sure.
The first phase, hopefully would finish by, winter to spring
okay.
of next year.
Yep.
And then, the second phase of the housing would start probably in the spring of 2022 and finish in the summer 2023.
Summer 2023.
Yeah.
Okay. So there'll be a big ceremony then.
There'll
I'm
be
sure.
a big one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
How much do you need for your capital campaign?
Yeah, so we are looking to raise
$10 million,
and it won't just be for the capital; it'll be for some of the programming
and
innovation there. And we started the campaign in a quiet phase, probably about 6 months ago.
Okay,
feeling very good about it, and so we're kind of kicking it off now in the community. Another newsbreaker today.
Love it, love it. That's perfect. So, well, how do folks support the effort, John? What's the best way for them?
Yeah,
to do that?
I mean, people can go on our website, helpfbms.org, mm-hmm. and you can see about it. You can call our team at 508-427-6448. Talk to Katie Riley about supporting us if you're interested in helping with the campaign.
Okay, or the number we have up there to the Quincy shelter as
yep,
well.
Yep. Yep. Okay. And people continually support us, which is great. This summer we didn't have our food fest, of course,
right.
our annual event because of COVID, but we did have some small donor events, and it was great to see local groups like George Burke, and we had Delbrook and Blue Cross Blue Shield, Cashman Dredging, South Shore Bank, Arbella, all came out and supported our mission. People
nice.
Are continuing to help us.
Yeah. Short term, the holidays are coming.
Yeah.
So will you have your holiday assistance program once again?
We will.
Okay.
So I think, what we're going to do this year is we're still going to have a community meal at Christ Church in Quincy for people that would like to come down.
Okay.
But we're going to, socially distance people where people that live in our shelters, especially at Father Bill's, we'll keep them at the shelter and have a nice community meal there.
Okay.
And then we'll also be doing an expanded meal delivery program.
Oh, all right.
So
okay.
people that are in need of a meal want it delivered, they can go on our website and it will be promoting it. We'll give you the information
Great.
Promoting. People can call and say, I need, a meal and people will deliver it. So, we expect to serve over 1,000 meals on Thanksgiving.
It's incredible. Yeah,
yeah.
It really is. And then Christmas, of course, soon after that.
Yeah.
At the shelter, I always like to ask, what do you need right now?
Yeah, no. So, right now, in a sense of our needs, of course, is, you're always in need of those basics. If it's toothbrushes and toothpaste.
The personal hygiene items are in great demand always, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And then it's always, socks and going in the winter, new coats,
sure.
new sweatshirts, new sweatpants and things like that.
Okay.
But again, we have a wish list on our website and you can get up to date that way.
All right. Anything else we should let folks know about, John?
No, continue to appreciate the greater Quincy community. The Interfaith Network in Quincy has been very supportive of us through the pandemic, years before, of course, with us, has been very supportive of this transition.
That's great. Well, we look forward to the Grand Prix coming up soon.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks for coming over. Appreciate it.